Welcome to Hoop of This On, Season 5, Episode 27, where we watch The Pack, Season 1, Episode 1. I'm Chris Lorenz.
Hey, this is James.
This is Brian.
Robert Kitts.
Hey guys, this is Max, and this is my doggie Zoe. She's 1 year old, she's a German Shepherd Sharpei rescue, and I can't wait to share so many memories with her.
If this is your first time joining us, we watch a different reality show each week and judge it based on one episode or so. And we, what show did we watch this week, Rob?
In this global adventure, 12 teams of dogs and their human companions compete in fun and exciting challenges, celebrating their incredible bond. At stake at the end of this unforgettable journey is a life-changing prize, $500,000 for the winning duo and $250,000 for an animal charity. The pack is hosted by gold medalist skier Lindsey Vonn and her dog Lucy. That's The Pack on Amazon Prime.
Thank you, Rob. So this is kind of the Amazing Race, but instead of a pair of two people, it's a person and their dog. It's high level, and I'll go over just a quick summary of what happens in this episode, and then we'll get into the nitty-gritty, the minutia. So it starts off with this bonkers intro on some LA street with a bunch of celebrities. We'll get into that. And then they intro some of the dogs and the owners, and they do this like choosing of teams thing where they, you know, they pull a dog toy, whatever, fuck it. They get the teams. Whoa, then they do some sort of zip line thing. Unclear why. Then they do the real challenge where one pack has to serve diners by putting plates on their back. And then one has to like search a battleship or some sort of military ship for puzzle pieces. And then they all end up at this lighthouse thing. And the first team there won. And then the remaining team had to do elimination challenge, which was, you know, they went from their hotel to this beach and they did some sort of like relay race, not relay race, some sort of challenge race where they had to sit, stay and dig, do some stupid stuff. And then somebody was eliminated and it was the worst owner. And it was great. Really enjoyed that. That was my favorite part. And that was the whole episode. That's this kind of a high level, 500 level. So let's get into the minutia here. Let's talk about this intro.
Can I get into the minutia of the 500 level?
No.
Because I don't think 500 is high level.
Yeah, when you're... First. No, the 500... When you're at the stadium, you're at the 500 level.
Stadiums. That's a good point. I was thinking like college courses... I feel you start out at, you know, lecture 101.
You're talking about stadiums and how high, you know, when you're getting into the 500 level seats anywhere, that's fucking high.
There you have it.
At what point do you think we could teach a 500 level course on reality TV?
Yesterday.
No, but Brian, you're using it the other way now. You can't keep doing that. You can't go Chris
I just want to know.
And now we're saying 500 is the super deep one, because that's what we're about to do in this podcast, is go to the 500 level.
I just want to get tenure for talking about reality TV.
Well, it's all James. Right, we start at the 500 level, and now we're going to go to the 500 level. You know, simple.
This is a 500 level podcast. We're renaming it from Who Put This On to the 500 level reality show podcast. We get the 500 level at the beginning, and then we get the 500 level course.
This is the podcast to nowhere. We've started and stopped. And
all right, minutia. All right. So there's this bonkers intro where...
What the fuck was this intro, dude?
Lindsey Vonn just on some sort of bridge in L.A.
In a highway, I believe.
Was it just a real highway or was it some...
No. No, it was a set.
Okay. I don't know what it was. Okay. A bunch of cars. They were all stopped. And it looked
the idea was Lindsey Vonn is in a traffic jam on a highway and she gets out of her car and she's like, fuck this, I'm going to make a reality show with dogs. And a bunch of people start dancing like it's fucking La La Land. What the fuck was this?
Literally. Then the LA Lakers like cheerleader show up, which was bananas.
I have a question for Rob. Was that like the LA Lakers owner? I didn't know who that person was in the car with the cheerleaders. They got a, like a quick cameo.
Yeah, it seems like somebody who was getting a cameo.
But so I don't know. The thing.
There was like five different people in that that I'm like, I think this is a D-list celebrity they think we recognize. But I only recognized one of them. And it was not the woman in the car. It was Dennis Rodman. Or as Chris said, Rodney something.
Yeah, it's like Rod something.
I googled it, and James, you called it. That was the owner, Jeannie Buss, of the LA Lakers.
Interesting.
There you have it.
I mean,
do we know who else were all the other D-list celebrities in that, Max?
Let me know.
I don't know. It's a thing.
Email us at whoputthison@gmail.com if you know who these D-list celebrities are.
So, like, as soon as this thing starts, I'm like, oh, now we know the budget of this show. Like, when you have this elaborate filming thing on a reality show, you've got the budget. Like, we're talking, this is top tier budget for a reality show. Usually,
it was long, too.
Yeah.
Like, usually, it was a long intro. Big, big time.
Big, long celebrities, like, on a set. Like, the reality show's on a set.
No. Fucking. But this show also travels. Like, that's the bigger cost.
Yeah, but they like, didn't need to do this.
Actually, yeah, you're right. They just set up different sets for cities.
They just didn't need to do this. So, like, that's what you're talking about. Like, this intro is just kind of garbage.
Episode one is the longest episode, by the way. So I think the intro padded out the runtime of the episode.
Okay, I'm okay with that.
I just think it sets a weird tone for the whole episode, too. Like,
it's also nothing like the rest of the show because, like, the show has nothing to do with celebrities. Like, it's
yeah. You know, why is Dennis Rodman in this? What?
Well, I haven't watched The Amazing Race in quite some time, but like, as part of that, and I don't know if that comes into play here, where if you go to, I think they're going to like Switzerland and like France and, you know, a lot of these places. Are there like famous people that are going to have cameos? Is that a thing that happens on these types of shows?
Harrison, definitely our Amazing Race expert, is not here. Damn. He could tell you.
Well, I think that they'll sometimes have people that are like locally well known. Like, you go to Switzerland and there's someone who is like well known in Switzerland that you and the US has never heard of. Mm. But like Dennis Rodman or the owner of the Lakers, like, you know, doesn't really match that kind of thing. Like, you'd want to get some, maybe the owner of the Lakers counts as someone who's like LA famous, but not famous outside of LA if they're in LA. And that's kind of maybe what you're going for.
Mm.
But like, Dennis Rodman has nothing to do with LA. It just seems weird.
I want to swing this a little bit. So we're talking about Lindsey Vonn, Olympic gold medalist.
Mm.
So like in your intro, in the description, you said it was Lindsey and her dog, Lucy.
Mm-hmm.
But in the intro, she has three dogs.
Yeah, only one
Leo
dog made the cut to
and
co-host.
Bear, where are they?
Okay.
Cut. Didn't make
it. I have a theory.
Okay.
What is different about the Cocker Spaniel versus the other two dogs?
They're smaller.
Exactly. She can bring this dog in on a plane without putting in cargo. Having put a dog in cargo, it's a pain in the ass. I'm sure this show would make it less of a pain in the ass, but it's so much easier if you just have it with you on the plane.
I think they're just going to drive to places. Maybe they'll take a cruise if they go to Paris.
I mean, we definitely saw them going intercontinental.
Man. All right. Let's should we get into the actual dogs and the owners?
No.
No.
Okay. There's 12 of them.
Okay. There's 12 pairs. Most of them are boring people. I think the only one, there's a couple, I guess we can talk about, sort of peacocking owner dog pairs. The most obvious one is a guy whose name is apparently Kentucky and his dog Derby. Get it? Kentucky Derby. They both have blue mohawks, and that's their only defining feature.
There's also the dog that wears the ski goggles.
Oh, yeah. Dixie. Dixie.
Brian and Dixie.
Yeah. Dixie's pretty good.
Dixie is a therapy dog, and the owner, the quick minutia is like a veteran and goes to these like VA events and things in places, and takes Dixie to cheer up people. So good for them.
Well, yeah.
Chris, is it time for you to go on a rant about sob stories?
Oh my God, guys.
There was a lot.
Well, the only one that like really bothered me was when they were in, they're going from zip lining to one of their challenge, and they're in some sort of limo, and the woman was like, yeah, I'm so glad I had my dog. She was there for the hard times, you know. I was 4 months pregnant, and I, you know, he was there for me. And I'm just like, I get it. You have hard times. You have a dog. It helps you through it. I feel about sad for you. I don't need 4 minutes on it. And I had to finish my drink because that's a permanent drinking rule. Sob story, finish your drink.
Wait, hold up. First of all, the dog was Duchess. It wasn't the sob story like she was pregnant and lost her child?
Yeah.
Like, it was a pretty sad story, dude.
It's called a miscarriage. Lots of people have them, and no one talks about it.
I don't know. It seems really sad.
It's definitely really sad, but like, this is
like, if it was a 4 month old child, then yeah, that's sadder to me.
Okay. Well,
here's what I will say on the subject. I hear this exact story a lot of, I had a miscarriage and my dog came to comfort me. And that's like kind of cool, but I also hear it a lot. It's almost not even like new and exciting anymore.
It, to be honest, James, it's just how the show set it up. It was just like this music, the sound, the camera angles, the like way they zoomed in on her. And just like, okay, I'm sad. I'm sad for you. That's what you want me to be? I'm trying to have fun while I'm watching the show.
Chris, I just want you to know, if you have a miscarriage, Zoe will be there for you.
Okay. Thank you.
I mean, I am with you in that, like, the show, like, you definitely know right what's happening as soon as it goes into this mode. And you're like, oh, okay, it's going to be sad time. Like, I agree. It's very predictable in that way. Not great.
Yeah. Another piece of minutia here is the military. So, like, this is the America part of the show, which apparently America now is sob stories number one. Thank you, NBC. Thank you, Olympics, for that. If you've ever seen that, you know exactly what I'm talking about. And then you've got the military here. You've got Dixie, I think, was the dog. We just said, yeah, her name is Dixie. And they would go to veterans' homes to do support visits. Very unclear exactly what was going on. But then they go to the USS Iowa to do this puzzle challenge thing. And I mean, it's just, you know, just a casual pro-military kind of thing that Americans love.
Just very expletive. It's just, let's tug at the heartstrings for those ratings and the sweet ad dollars.
The ratings. It's all about the ratings. Even though this is a streamed thing that has 10 episodes just dumped at you at once.
They're tracking some kind of internal ratings for sure. Like, something Nielsen ratings. They're tracking something.
I definitely forgot about that, it being like a solo like reality TV show online, but other reality shows do the same thing for those reasons.
No, I'm just saying that this is the America. Like, if you want to be top American reality show, sob stories and some sort of pro-military stance. There's another thing about Brian and Dixie that I need to know. I think we need Noah here to tweet at them, but I might have to tweet at them. Because, so they started his sob story in this limo where he was like, I was out hunting and I was like on the ground with a broken bones and like something was going on and the dog wasn't even in the story. But he was like, I needed to change my life and I want to know that fucking story. What happened in the woods, Brian? Tell me.
Brian, take it away.
I don't have anything. Like, I only know that, like, how he, like, the aftermath was like he had a collapsed lung and like broken ribs, and I assume he was hunting.
Brian, you don't know the stories of all Brians. You can't just be our Brian and tell us the other Brian story.
Go watch The Life of Brian. Like, why do I need to retell it?
Did he fall out of a hunting nest? But like, if you did that, why do you need to change your life? Like, make a better hunting nest. I don't understand.
Man, you really took that story in a crazy angle. Like, you really had a harsh reaction to this thing.
And James, like we just don't know like what the cause of.
I just want to know the real story, James. That's all I want to know.
He said the story. He was out hunting in the woods alone by himself. And when he tripped and fell, he broke some ribs and had a collapsed lung. And it was at that point in time when he was laying there on the ground with a collapsed lung and broken ribs, which you guys are just somehow making fun of for some reason.
Not making fun of it. I want to know the story.
I'm telling you the story. And at that point, he realized that, like, he needs somebody out here with him. He needs a partner. And so
how is that dog going to help him?
I mean, if you would stop interrupting every 2 seconds, is at that point in time he realized, like, hey, I need a partner. And how I'm going to do that is get this dog and who I formed this bond with. And now they go out hunting together. It was like just a quick little lovely story. You totally like just rail on this guy.
That's not how it's portrayed, James.
Have you ever seen like a movie? Have you ever seen an episode of Lassie where somebody gets in trouble and Lassie saves the day?
yeah,
that's how the dog's gonna save the day. He's just gonna bark and bark until
somebody's like,
why is that dog barking? I'm gonna go check it out. And then there's a guy who's crushed by a tree.
Hey, you joke, that's a real thing. Like, it's good to take a dog with you when you go on hikes for that reason. They make noise, it's good.
They hunt for you.
Yeah,
James, I don't think that you're taking the gravity of the story well enough.
You have
a collapsed lung from tripping, and then you're like, I need to change my life. And the changing your life is just getting a dog.
I don't think it was tripping.
While you're out hunting. I don't
exactly. Understand. James is making it seem like he was just tripped. So I just like, I want to know the real story. James saying he tripped.
Why is this so hard to understand? Like, you can trip and fall and break a rib. Like, people do this all the time. This happens in the shower, like all over the place.
I don't think so.
What do you?
I would like to move on from the subject, but yeah, old people like die in the bath in the shower all the time.
I know that.
That's why you should get a dog.
All right. I'm going to tweet at Brian and I'm going to ask him what the story was. Maybe I can do a cameo. I'll pay him. And all I want is for him to tell his real life story and we can relay it on the podcast. So another person, couple, pair I want to talk about is Lynn and Chance. So spoiler alert, these are the people that lose and they're kicked off the show. But Chance is...
Spoilers, Chris. Jesus.
I said...
That's a joke.
Okay. I don't know why you had to break my flow for that. Thank you. Chance is an 8-pound dog. And neither of these people were going very far. As soon as they were introduced, I was like, they're probably out first. And they were out first. They have matching outfits, lots of them. They, in their intro video, not so much during the episode, but she did not seem like a very big competitor. Anyone else have any other thing to say about anyone else before we move on?
I'll give you credit, Chris, for the fact that you did call it right away that they were going to be eliminated this week. I was like, nah, they're stringing this out, and because I thought they'd drop some hints that one team was going to lose, and she was on the other team. I'm like, nah, but you were right.
Well, the other team was pretty confident, so like they were doing this puzzle challenge, which we can get here. Let's get into the minutia of the puzzle challenge.
But Brian had something you wanted to say.
I was going to ask a pre-question. So like after the intros, did everybody choose their favorite dog?
No.
Because I know I did. What?
They never like gave me a shot of all of them for me to like compare and contrast which dogs and like,
I mean, we're not getting know stats like,
yeah, you know what? The introduction of the dogs was so just like, bam, 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 bam. I didn't even have a chance to choose a favorite. And also I feel like the first episode in particular, like, you're kind of rooting for all of them. And then as you get to learn people more, then you start saying, ooh, I like that person. Ooh, I like that dog.
I think that they did a decent job because 12 people and 12 dogs is a lot to intro. I don't think they should have spent a whole lot of time on it. That would have been so boring. Like,
I mean, the thing is, like, you had complaints about like not knowing one person's like backstory really well. I'm like, how they got like their dog.
I just needed the real story, Brian. I don't really care. Like, I could have done without the story, and then I wouldn't have any problem. But the fact that I got half a story is my problem. Anyway, we move past that, Brian. We're not bringing that up again.
But this is a classic first episode problem where just, like, you have trouble keeping track of all the people. And if you count the dogs as people, which the people in this show clearly do, we're talking about 26 people to keep track of. And that's just a lot of intros.
Yeah. So I think they did a decent job. Like, normally my complaints would be around that. But I think they stuck to, like, five or six people to, like, kind of really intro. And obviously one of those people has to be kicked off. So now we have another, like, 6 to 7 people to really get to know a little bit better. I think that's the optimal method out of the way we've done these, but I did not get a chance to pick a favorite, Brian. I'm a fan of Labs, but that lab was, like, not in the episode, like, at all. So I don't know. Couldn't tell you.
While we're talking about people, we should
intro later.
The Nuts Mustache.
Oh, yeah. What was his name?
I don't know. He's a mustache man to me.
Mustache man. That was Mark and Ace, I think?
No.
I think his name was like Snidely Whiplash or something.
That's it. Good job, Max.
Thanks.
Daniel and Alistair? I don't know. I have all the names written down, but there wasn't a whole lot to say about a lot of them, so I didn't write anything else. Yeah, Mustache Man. He was way more interesting than his dog. He's really peacocking with that mustache.
Oh, yeah.
There was one other thing that I'll bring up. Is there was Donna and Charlie, where Charlie was a dog, and he's in a bunch of, like, commercials and stuff. And Donna is the, what'd she say, the mom manager?
Momager.
Momager.
Which doesn't even work.
No.
Like, as a pun.
Max is more of a dog pimp. Like, because she's booking and collecting all the money, right? And then, like, taking the dog around and dropping him off of these shoots.
Yeah, I think you could use it that way.
Max, I need your ruling. If you have dogs, are you allowed to call yourself their mom? Or is that not okay?
I don't personally, but I don't feel like I can make a ruling.
Or, okay, let me ask this. Can you call them your dad? Can you say, are you Zoe's dad? Let me ask that.
I don't personally, but, you know, that's weird to me. It's not that weird. There's many weirder things out there in the world.
I agree there's weirder things, but, like, and as someone who's not a big dog person, like, I roll my eyes so hard at that. I'm like, that is, you are an insane person. And multiple people on this show, including the host, said that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I think that, like, if you get somebody who doesn't, like, do that stuff, you're just going to be like, do you even care? Like, I think it's a requirement to be on this show.
You know what I would say about the subject? The sort of, like, accepted term for I am the owner of this dog is owner, and that's such a impersonal term, and I don't really think there's a good English word for, like, I am the guardian, I am the protector of this doggy. I'm the buddy of this doggy.
You just gave three. Guardian, you know.
No, but all okay, buddy is fine, but, like, guardian and protector are, again, impersonal.
I don't know, my guardian's pretty personal.
This is part of my pack.
It sounds like something you'd see in a legal document.
That's fair. It sounds like something you'd see in a terrible, like, animated movie, some sort of, like,
yeah,
Guardians of Aul or something.
Guardians of the Galaxy. I understand why some people go for that, but that's not me.
What if we started calling it Star-Lord? Like, I'm this dog's Star-Lord.
I'm this dog's Star-Lord.
Maybe we need to steal a word from a different language that actually has a proper term. Side note to talk about later, but maybe Zoe should be the screenshot this week. Let's get into some of the stuff going on in this past the people. I don't think there's anything to really talk about other than, oh, so they're in this back lot, right? And they're doing this zip line. I don't understand why they did the zip line. They kind of made it seem like it was part of the challenge, but it took them forever to do, it seems. So it just is like, we did the zip line. But the real question is, they were on some sort of set that looked like Back to the Future. Does anyone think they were in the actual Back to the Future set?
I do.
So I have this thing deep in the back of my mind that the Back to the Future set like burnt down a couple of years ago. Oh. And I could internet corner it, but
we got internet corner it, Max. You can't drop a nugget like that.
You guys talk shit. I'm gonna go internet corner.
So right. Another set that I think it could be is the Seinfeld set. The Seinfeld New York City set is pretty famous.
But it's in LA? Like,
yeah. They filmed Seinfeld in LA. That's why they need a New York City street. So it's like the New York City street is used pretty heavily in movies and stuff. They'll just rejigger it to make it look slightly different. So like I feel like it's more likely the Seinfeld set than Back to the Future. But both those are 30, 40 years old at this point. So
do we know it's not the same set?
It looks so close.
I can talk about this.
Go.
Okay.
I'm going to read two sentences. A large fire tore through a backlot at Universal Studios early today, destroying a set from Back to the Future, blah, 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 blah. The iconic courthouse square from Back to the Future was also destroyed, Freeman said. And the famous clock tower that enabled Michael J. Fox's character to travel through time was damaged. Now, that said, I looked at this clock tower, and it's completely different from the one in Back to the Future.
But this one also looked kind of different. But it was just like the same kind of street with a square in the middle.
Yeah.
So that's why we think it's Back to the Future. But it also could have nothing to do with Back to the Future.
Anything's possible.
So there we go. If you know, maybe I'll ask in my cameo to Brian if that was the Back to the Future set. Let's see. Let's talk about the challenges. So we got the USS Iowa challenge. So they set puzzle pieces throughout this ship with, what did they say? Birch oil scent trails. The dogs are supposed to sniff it out. And one dog I could tell you did super poorly, and that was Chance. Chance was really bad at this. And this is the kind of challenge I want on this show. I want like cool things only dogs could do, dogs to train for. And I thought this challenge was great. I could have been filmed a little better, but otherwise, you know, you're in a tiny space. So it is what it is.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. It was interesting to see them sort of sniffing around, and it's sort of an easy game that's easy to root for them. Like, yeah, sniff for the right one. Oh, he got it. Like, and I'm never doing that for humans. I'm never rooting for a human to sniff.
That's fair.
Like, this challenge checked a couple boxes. It felt like you could make a version of this challenge on The Amazing Race with people looking in a ship for things, but they actually tried to make it so that the dog part of it made sense. So like, oh, well, we've got the scent, so they can use the dog sniffing to find it. Like, it was a good blend of, like, it seemed like a real challenge, and they were actually, like, leaning into the dog thing in, like, a reasonable way. So, yeah, this was definitely a smart challenge.
I feel like this is also the point in the show where, or at least one of the points in the show where they sort of break the fourth wall and they kind of go into the support crew that is part of the whole production. And so they have these like dog training crews, they have dog safety teams, and then like dog safety checkers. They like just go over like all of what they're doing from a safety and how they're training these dogs to do the sniffing and all these things. I don't know. It was kind of like just different from, I feel like, the normal Amazing Race or a show kind of like this, where you don't get exposed to, you know, the preparations of a challenge or what went into it. It's kind of interesting, different.
I'm glad you brought that up, because the more I think about it, like, people in the challenge, nobody cares. Like, but this, like, people being an uproar if, like, there was even a chance of the dog getting hurt.
It's true. They did talk about that with the ziplining too. It was like, they literally went to the camera and was like, this is 100% safe. I've done this with a million dogs and I'm making sure everyone's okay and there's no dogs freaking out. Really to set the tone of how much they cared about the dogs.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. I'd made a note of this talk about in the questions, but like they let us in on the fact that they put these dogs through like this dog boot camp that I wonder how much more we'll see insights into, as Jim was saying, of like they had to train them to be on zip lines, they had to train them to sniff for a certain kind of scent, and we'll see what other kind of nut stuff they already trained them for. But like these dogs have been going to school for a while before they started the show, and that was kind of an interesting thing to observe.
Reality show wise, I think that's fascinating because they never talk about like before the show.
I think this also speaks to the budget of like they didn't just, you know, bring a couple people, you know, to a random house and start doing stuff. Like they had to bring these dogs to some kind of training facility and do something for I don't know how long it took. We could talk about, you know, we'll get to talking about how
we'll get into that. Time,
but yeah. You know.
Don't you worry.
I'm ready for it.
Yeah, it is interesting because it seemed like it was kind of required. Like, I don't think that the part of that training is probably dealing with how to be on camera, how to be around so many people. Like, and who knows? You could definitely tell that Chance dog, some of these dogs aren't trained very well in general. There's one dog that was always like biting its leash. Like, that's, you know, a well trained dog doesn't do that, you know? So it was definitely.
For season one, I bet that like they just got like a bunch of people, like put out a newspaper ad and then like, okay, we need to filter out based on like the number of dogs that can actually make it through like basic commands and then do a little training, then figure out, okay, they handled the training, they can do this.
What I will say is like, as somebody with a dog that does not listen more than half the time, it was nice to see like a dog on that was good enough for TV that was also, biting its leash and stuff.
That's fair.
We just throw shade at Zoe.
Sorry, Zoe.
So let's talk about the other challenge they do this, or I guess the second challenge, the Queen Mary. So they go to like, all the humans get dressed in suits or tuxedos for some reason, and they go and they have to serve food from the dog's back to the like people sitting in this ballroom, and it was terrible. Like the dogs like aren't big enough to put this food on their back, and like dogs aren't designed to have things on their back. They're not trained to do anything like that. So like the people were just cheating, like holding the dog steady, almost holding the plates. Like it was just such a stupid challenge. I don't like. A, it's something only dogs could do, but dogs do it poorly. So I really didn't like this challenge at all.
I don't know. I thought that like it was good that like they could actually grow and do it. Like
I just don't think they really did.
Oh yeah, well, there's a lot of cheating going on. But Max, what are you thinking?
The like military ship challenge was a much better display of a dog's ability. This was like, you know, the owner is kind of like holding their head so they don't wobble while they walk. You know, this was bullshit. This was somebody in a writer's room was like, seems like a good idea, and everybody else is like, yeah, sure, whatever, fuck it, let's go.
I really want to know if anyone ate the food after these dogs were carried. Like, there was like a lot of people in this ballroom. And they were all super dressed up and into it. And I don't know why they were there. I don't know what was going on. So many questions about the ballroom scene I had. Does anyone know anything? Like, I don't know.
I totally agree, James. Like, Chris wants to know the backstory of the hunting. I want to know the backstory of the people in this ballroom. Like, are they here for a dinner? Or are they like on some kind of ship thing? Are they paid actor extras, or just like, are they getting a free dinner out of this? Is this the deal? But like, there were some great reaction shots of like a bowl of food getting dropped in front of someone and them looking at it like, I'm not comfortable with this food at all.
Yeah, it just came off of a dog's back.
I mean, it was on a plate. Like, I think it's fine. I think it'd be fine. But
it
like,
it was on a plate.
some of those things were jostled a bit and didn't really look like they were like they were stayed like level at all. And it's like, what is this challenge? That looked gross, like when it landed on their plates versus what they look like on the table. I don't know.
I also want to know. So they had these different dishes to give different people, and they had extras because some of them fell on the floor. But they said, and maybe this is fake or not, but they're like, this is our last plate of spaghetti. We got to deliver this one to the person. If they drop that plate, what happens? Like, they didn't really explain the parameters of the challenge very well. Or maybe I just zoned out, but
they did.
Max, you got your hand up. But what are you saying?
Yeah, what happens is another dog goes and eats the pasta on the floor, and then
the fuck knows.
Thank you, Max.
I think they would just have to deliver another food thing. Like this challenge is dumb. There was no conditions for failure. There was no failure, Rob. It was just a time-based thing. Even though it was only a set amount of food. Very unclear.
I mean, yeah. I'd argue that this thing, this whole competition was rigged for this team to catch up to the other team.
I don't know. They didn't have to change. Like, the
they both changed.
The other team had to change, too.
Oh. Yeah,
there was outfits. There was many outfits. Doggy outfits and people outfits.
Well, this is a thing the Amazing Race does more of now than they used to in the old days. They purposely set up things that get people to kind of bunch up and go together. So this is an interesting thing, James, of like, did they design these thing? Because like, then they got to like, when they were both done, they had to take a boat to this lighthouse and they were literally like neck and neck. And like, did they actually just rig? It's like, we're just going to make sure they're neck and neck for the final thing. And that's very, very suspicious.
100%.
So Rob, on that note, we could talk the last challenge with like somebody getting eliminated or whatever. They tried to make a big deal about know who was going to win or not. And that was fucking terrible. So I'd rather have them be like faked together than being like, let's make it seem like they're together. Because they did a terrible job.
The worst, let's try to edit it to make it seem close when it's not actually close to editing I think I've ever seen.
So bad. We'll get into that in a second.
One more thing about these two challenges. So they teed it up of the green team was ready first and they got to pick which of the two challenges to do, which is like the Amazing Race like detour thing. But it is never clear to me like how they make the decision of which one to pick. And like, was there any criteria of how do you know like what you're going to do one or the other? Was it totally random?
No, the one person picked because they were like, well, we've got two hunting dogs. Let's do the hunting challenge.
Yeah,
I think there was like a one sentence or a few words of a description, and that's all you kind of had to go on. And one said something about like seek or search out some stuff, and they're like, "Well, we got some hunting dogs. We should probably do that one."
And they did, well. So they did end up leaving at the same time in two different style of boats. I was like, "Who can't be having that? That's unfair." Like, at least have the same kind of boats. Like, who knows how fast which one is and the other one is? That completely changes who could win or lose. That was more bullshit to me than like them kind of being at the same time.
I feel like I was already too far gone at that point to care anymore. I'm just like, the timing's all rigged. Like, what does it matter? You know what I mean? Like, I'd already given up on this being a real race of any kind. So,
The one thing that doesn't bode well for the rest of this show is that second challenge with the food thing. If that is your challenge for the first episode of your show and it is that asininely stupid, what do you do on episode 6?
There's going to be lots of stupid challenges.
Honestly, I think a lot of the reality shows we do, the challenges get better with time, not worse.
Once you get rid of some of the riffraff dogs, maybe then you bring out the good challenges.
I don't know. But like, you could have at least picked something better that like helps. Like, the one was so good, so dog-based. The second one was so dog-based, but so bad. Like, did you think about this challenge at all? Because it didn't seem like you did. Or you just tested with like, I don't know, like the biggest dog, like a Mastiff. Because a Mastiff would have probably had no problem with that challenge.
But like, this is like the typical like that's just the balancing challenge that like a lot of people do with their dogs. Like, oh, I'm balancing dogs and treats in their nose, like they don't move. It's a little advanced, more advanced than that. I don't think it was that bad. I
wanted to see Chance try to balance anything on their back. Like 8-pound dog, what kind of, would you put on their back like a Snickers?
Yeah. You put unwrapped Snickers, fork and knife.
All right, let's move on. So one team won, doesn't matter. We got to talk about this. So they're all at the hotel. And apparently they were told that they were going to give a clue to where they needed to go in the morning. So they all got this newspaper. And in the newspaper, there was an ad that told you what dog park to go to. Max, yes.
Chris, I know you want to talk about this clue so bad, but you brought up the hotel, and I got to talk about this hotel. Everybody's hotel room has carpeted floors. How the fuck did the production company not think to not get carpeted floors in a hotel room about a reality show with dogs that are probably peeing everywhere?
Oh, you're totally right.
Max, I have another question for you. To double down on the dogs in the hotel rooms. Do people sleep with their dogs in the bed under, like, in the covers? Is that a thing? How common is this?
Some people do. I do not.
Yeah, I was, like, not aware this was a thing, and the majority of people on the show are just in the bed cuddling them with their pups under the sheets. And I don't know, maybe it's because, like, I'm a little bit allergic to dogs that I'm just, like, there's something that just freaks me out there.
You know, I totally agree. I'm cuddling on a couch right now, as you can see.
as but, you audio listeners.
But it's a different, it's different. It's different.
Right. You know? I mean,
it's very different.
Couch, easy to clean. Right. Sheets, you gotta throw them in the laundry.
I do agree with you, James. Like, I know people that sleep with their dog, which I think is a bad idea. But then to sleep under the covers of the dog, I've never heard anyone doing that.
I'm
not asking people either, so
it's true.
Counterpoint, this is a hotel. Everything's going in the wash and getting super cleaned. It's gonna happen.
That is a good point. Maybe they don't normally do this, but they're like, oh, I'm living in luxury.
Right.
And Max, to your point, like the hotel is the one allowing or not allowing dogs. Like, the production crew could give two fucks.
Sure. I'm just saying it's a bad choice.
You just get that, like, stupid, like, pattern carpet. So, like, you remove the stains. Like, yeah, cheap hotel.
Yeah. I think it's a non-issue. But the one thing, like, getting back to the notes. So, or not notes. The clue they had to find in the newspaper. There was one guy that, like, saw the newspaper, picked up his pack, and just ran. And he was like reading his newspaper in the elevator on his way down to the cab. It was like, this is where I got to go. He finds the ad. This is where we're going to go. Gets in the cab and goes. And then one of the person's like a little behind them. But the other four people are just like casually reading the newspaper on their bed, taking their time. They're like, where's this clue? And it was like, do you guys know you're on like a reality competition show? Like that first guy really set the bar so high, and it was comical to watch all these other people just kind of like lackadaisically figure out the clue in their bedroom or hotel room.
It was pretty nuts. And like another to give him even more credit, like they all got a knock on the door to go and look for the clue. He opened the door. He was already dressed, and the dog. And he took the dog outside. He was like, "Whatever this clue is, I'm getting it. And I'm going." And everyone else was like, "Oh, even the one that like was pretty quick about it, like, oh, I forgot the clue. Let's go." So he's just like, he was on a level that no one else in the show was on in terms of like, this is a competition. I should be smart about this.
He's the front runner to win the whole thing now, right? Like, he's the one there to win.
Well, we don't know about the people on the other team, but like in terms of his team, he seems like he's definitely like the favorite for sure.
Yeah, I don't remember who that was. Mark and Ace, maybe?
Yeah.
That Ace sounds right. I think it's Ace. So we'll say it's also Mark.
guys, exciting update. My dog yawned at me and it put me in a good mood.
Yes.
There you go.
Max, what is the sob story that your dog helped you get through?
Let me think on it.
Max, I'll tee one up for you. Just 2020.
200,000 Americans are dead at the hands of their own government.
Chris, I really wish that you had like the sob music on button that you just play on.
Just, yeah. Oh, man.
Yeah, when are we going to get a soundboard, Chris?
You got to figure it out. The music in the show, though, they really try to hammer in the emotions they want you to feel with the music.
Oh, yeah.
And it's a little, it's one of the reasons why I feel like the sob stories really pissed me off, because the music really dug in. And then this last challenge, they really tried to tee up the tension. And like, it was pretty obvious what order everyone was in. Like, the only tension was who's going to be at first. And like, at that point, it doesn't really matter. And we knew who was in last place, even though they like, they really, really set the music up and the editing to make it seem like we didn't know who was going to lose, although we all know who was going to lose. To Rob's point, it was definitely one of the worst final editing things ever. Like, not even like a final finale I've ever seen try to do it this bad.
So here's the thing. Like, most shows, all of the contestants are fully sentient humans, and that's just not the case here.
I agree with, like, hey, like, you have to do a little bit of setup, but like, yeah, you don't need to be like so blatant about like, yeah, they're not running side by side at all, like they're just doing like different cuts. You don't fake that. Like, get some excitement.
As someone who's seen a lot of reality shows, I think the way you play this is you get all five teams across the finish line, and then you play the really sad music as the last owner and dog roll up, and everyone's already done, and they're going through the motions, and you're playing the sad music, and we all know how it's ending, and that's how you do it.
Exactly. That's how they're doing an Amazing Race. The dog is not going to care. The dog is just so happy to be there.
I think the main thing that I have here is that they're so committed to the Amazing Race thing. This like last challenge would have been so much better if all six of them were there at the start and they were like, go. Like, it was all set up to be like that. Like, go dig for the key. Then you have to go do this like behavioral challenge. Then go put this stupid buoy things up that say saved. And then you run to the end. That would have been great to see if all six of them started at the same time. But no. They have to do this weird, like, figure out this clue, take a cab, who knows what cab driver they got. And then they all get there at separate times. Then it's very clear who gets to the end first, in what order.
And with the cab, they also showed the dog safety team making sure the dog was properly strapped into the cab. So it might have taken them like 15 minutes to get in that cab.
Like,
but that's even more reason why you just do it all at the same time. I agree, Chris.
Amateur hour.
But at the same time, if you're trying to go for that Amazing Race feel, like, that was it. That was the moment where you had to say, I'm ready to go at any point, and my partner's ready to go with me.
Yeah. And that was the end of the episode. Anyone, you have anything else you want to talk about before we get into the questions?
We had a This Season On, and I was kind of surprised that This Season On spoiled all the places they go. I thought they'd want some suspense of where they're going.
Can we talk about it? Spoiler alert.
Oh, yeah. Spoiler alert.
So I saw Florence. I saw Mexico City. I don't know what else. Oh, Switzerland. I don't fucking know what else.
Paris and London.
Nice.
They also stopped in the middle of this Season On to do a like fart joke. Like a bad fart joke.
Oh, my God.
It was the worst thing I've ever seen on a This Season On.
Okay, so let's describe it. Like, you know, a guy's talking at his dog and they play a fart sound that very clearly is not from the dog. And the guy's like, did you fart? And the dog makes a sound that's probably also edited. I've never seen a fart sound so poorly edited before while trying to play it as like a real thing.
It was real bad. Real bad. All right, let's get to the questions. Who's the worst human being?
Should we also include our dogs in this?
I think it's two. Who's the worst human being? Who's the worst dog?
I don't know. I have no idea.
Worst human being is the guy with the mustache.
I think worst human being is Dennis Rodman. I gotta say.
Oh, yeah, yeah. He's friends with Kim Jong-un.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a solid choice, Rob. My nominee might be the guy with the mohawk, the blue mohawk, puts a blue mohawk on his dog. That's kind of weird. That's just weird.
Yeah.
I agree, but I've also never seen a dog with a mohawk before. Do dogs like mohawks? Is it okay to give your dog a mohawk? Again,
definitely.
I think likes, not really sure. Is it okay? I don't see why not.
I mean, definitely there's probably a way to tell if, like, he brings out the clippers and that dog runs away. I don't think he likes it, but we're not going to see that. I think you're right, Rob, so we're going to go with that. Dennis Rodman, you were in the show for 5 seconds. You win the award. Is this the Apex downgrade or upgrade for the host? What's her name?
Lindsey Vonn.
Olympic, multiple-time gold medalist, Lindsey Vonn.
I feel like there's two ways to look at that. I think winning a gold medal is her apex, but in terms of trying to get a second life as in some kind of entertainment business, this might be the best thing she's done because she's the host of a show.
I'd say it's a... I don't know what else she's done, so I can't really say it's an upgrade, but it's a downgrade from Olympic gold medalist for sure.
I'll go to the corner, see if she's been in anything else.
Okay. While you do that,
100 bucks says she's been on like Dancing with the Stars or one of these, you know. Everybody's been on it shows.
Yeah, probably right. Maybe she was on The Masked Singer.
She was in an episode of Law and Order.
Ooh. What?
Who hasn't been on an episode of Law and Order, though?
There's only like 1,000 of those.
She played secretary.
Were they like practicing ski law? Like they found a murder on a ski mountain and they have to figure out who did it.
She was in a Black Eyed Peas music video.
So you're saying this is a huge upgrade in her entertainment?
Well, how do you define entertainment though? Because like she's pretty popular in like Instagram and that sort of realm, right?
And like I think being a host of your own show is an upgrade off of any Instagram.
She's been a guest judge on Project Runway. She's also the co like sponsor of The Rock's latest Under Armour stuff. She's like the sort of champions the female gear while The Rock is showing off the male gear. So there you go. That's some Lindsey Vonn quick internet corner hits.
So upgrade. But downgrade from...
Upgrade from Olympics. Gotta Olympics, be. Yeah. Like, that's gotta be the peak, right? Like multiple time Olympic champion. I mean, come on.
I wonder if she'll be more of a host if the Olympics were actually held this year.
Well, she's done, right? She's
retired. Well, I mean, she would have been host.
Oh, like during, sure. That's a fair point.
Sure. Yeah, that's a very good point. I didn't even consider that. Because I feel like there's a lot of like, you know, sort of retired ex-Olympians who still have careers
in entertainment. One more question. Is her peak that she dated Tiger Woods for 3 years?
What?
And this is a downgrade.
Is it the peak or the valley?
Yes, that's the question.
Well, I mean, as we talk about as entertainment, like being married to like Tiger Woods or dating Tiger Woods means nothing, really.
What do you mean?
Like, that doesn't really propel your career at all because you're dating somebody.
Oh, Chris, we watch reality TV shows. How do you not know that dating someone?
Yeah, but if we saw some show with her because she was, if there was the Tiger Woods Housewives show, then yes, that would have like.
Interesting.
I mean, but like this is also a thing of like PGA Tour wives get like airtime on television during the tournaments. Like if your husband's winning, you're getting some airtime at that final hole. And a lot of them like go on and do other stuff as well. Like they have
this is the going on and doing other stuff.
No, but like not, I mean, sure, but like, I don't know. Not everyone has their own TV show. I'm just saying they do things. People.
Yeah. That's why I'm saying this is an upgrade over her, all the other entertainment stuff she's done. But I don't know. Moving on.
I find it interesting. Okay, so Vonn is not her birth name. She was married to a guy for 4 years. She divorced him in 2011, and she still keeps the last name. I mean, many people do that, but...
Well, she also married Tiger in 2012, divorced 2015.
Yeah, so why isn't she Lindsay Woods?
Well, I don't think she ever took Woods as a name. Well,
sure, I mean...
Max, this is the thing. What name did she have when she became famous and won gold medals?
That's what it is. It's... You take that on as a, what is it called? A nom de plume.
Exactly. She's not changing the name because she's famous with that name.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
Let's do the drinking. Let's go to drinking rules. I'm done with minutia. We're kind of done talking about this show in general.
Never
but let's,
done with minutia, Chris. There's always minutia.
Moving on to drinking rules. I think you need to take 5 sips for every sob story you hear while...
I thought sob story was finish your drink.
There's too many. Yes. I can't get people like alcohol poisoning, Rob. I am a kind human being. Mm. So 5 sips. If any sip length you want, I don't care. Just, you know, take 5.
I have a nice and easy one. Every time somebody cheats, take a shot of whiskey.
Easy one. Shot of whiskey.
There is a lot of cheating in this show.
Oh, yeah.
That's on that note, just a minor tangent. Is they were digging? Was it not clear that could the humans dig or do the dogs have to dig? Like,
I don't think Chance dug anything. I think the owner did all the digging on that one.
Brian, what's your drinking rule?
You have to drink every time they say the word bond.
Oh, Rob, what's yours?
Every time they go to super slow-mo, you got to take a drink.
Ooh, that's a good one.
There's James, a lot of super slow-mo in the show.
James, you got one?
I sure do. Every time there's a mouth-on-mouth between the dog and their partner, go ahead and drink and close your eyes because it happens way too much.
That should be like, finish your drink.
No, it happens way too much, Brian. Warning. I mean, if you want hard mode.
I got one that we talked about already, kind of. Is anytime they refer to their dog as like their child or them as their mom or dad, you should take a drink.
That's a good one.
All right. Let's talk about the production schedule on this one. So clearly COVID's been around since March. You're not traveling anywhere since March, really. So they must have had this show in the can for a long time.
I went to the corner. Okay. They started filming in January and they wrapped in March.
Oh, man. We have some real tangible data? That's unusual for this question.
That is correct. Lindsay Vonn gave an interview with Hello Canada magazine.
Oh, is she Canadian?
I don't think so. Shouldn't she won gold medals for the U.S.?
I don't know. Why else are you giving interviews for Hello Canada?
You want Canada to watch that Amazon Prime, I guess. I don't know.
Okay. The only ones asking for their interview. What? So 2 months. Oh,
Lindsay Vonn is engaged to a Canadian hockey player. So maybe that's the Hello Canada connection.
Really likes those athletes. Anyway. Athletes.
It's like she's an athlete or something.
Something like that. So you get 2 months of filming. Do you have... we talked about the pre-shoot training. So clearly, when you're picking the people for this show, there's a lot of like, you got to make sure the dogs can be filmable. How many, people do you think they bring in? They bring in like double, triple the amount of people and then whittle it down there? Or do you whittle it down before you bring it into pre-training?
That's a really good question. I do wonder if you have to bring in more to the pre-training and then there's that's part of the process. Like you've reached a certain stage. Now we got to put you through these paces to see who's actually going to be on the show.
But it's American Idol. You got to bring in a bunch.
Yeah. So like Kentucky, right? I'm assuming he lives in Kentucky, right? Not LA. Or are all these people from LA so they could come in and do this training whenever?
Kentucky lives in Minnesota. I made that up.
I was going to say Jersey.
I'll just assume they're in LA. I assume, you know, you do a couple of weekends of training. I don't know. Doesn't matter. But we have real answers. 2 months. Interesting. That's a lucky draw. I wonder if they had end early. I wonder if that impacts the end of the show.
I don't know. Yeah. Does it get weird at the end if things are starting to lock down and stuff? Maybe there was supposed to be 13 episodes. They only filmed 10. They're like, we gotta wrap this up.
Gotta film it.
The last episode's in Florida. They're like, Florida is still open. We're good.
So, I mean, the inspirations of the show are easy. Amazing Race. Like, is there anyone else? Like, the Puppy Bowl?
Yeah, are there any other dog reality shows?
Yeah, there's definitely, like, dog competition reality shows, right? Like, where it's about them, like, the. I feel like I've seen something with, like, the owner. It's about the owner's story, preparing them for the shows and whatnot.
Isn't there one that's, like, small people and their pit bulls?
I don't know.
What?
I think that this is a clear hole in the Who Put This On lexicon, is that we haven't done any real animal or dog reality shows before this.
Is it time for Dog Month?
Could be. Animal Planet Month, yeah. Really? I think they're the only...
Have we not done Pit Boss?
No.
No, okay.
Is that about casino people?
What's up?
Is that about casino people?
No, it's about a guy with dwarfism and his like team of fellow, I don't know what the correct PC term is for them, and they all have pit bulls and they just rescue pit bulls.
We've definitely not done that show. I don't think I've ever heard of this show. Put it on the queue.
Queue it up. Tweet at us at Who Put This On if you want us to do that show and give us your opinions. Anyway, let's get on the ratings. So
I got an update from the corner. On the website, it tells you where they're all from.
Oh.
And Kentucky lives in San Diego.
Okay.
Half of them live in California. There's
the other half in like Nevada.
There's two from New York. Ace and Mark are from Utah. Dixie and Brian are from Indiana. And Kipo and Chisholm, that's the crazy guy with the mustache, are from Oklahoma. And Alistair and Daniel are from Illinois, from Chicago.
Interesting. Complicates their pre-training, but with the kind of budget Amazon threw at the show, they're sending them to Florence. I guess they can fly them in for like a week of training.
Yeah.
All right. Let's do our ratings. So if it's your first time watching, we do a stack ranking system where we do top, middle, bottom, third compared to other reality shows. And some people stack rank in their stack ranks. So don't be confused when you see top of the bottom or middle of the bottom. All right. Brian, why don't you start us off with your ranking this week or rating, whatever we call it.
Okay. Before I do that, I'm going to jump in and say Noah's rating, who unfortunately couldn't join us, but he has rated this at top of the top.
Oh, man. Why is he not here?
I really wish we could get his
so
rating.
Many questions.
That's the backstory we need. How is Noah not on the Dog Show podcast?
Next week, we will be grilling Noah on his top of the top rating.
Yes.
And why don't you give us
as for my rating, I'm going to put it in the top of the middle. I think that this is a reasonable reality show, and I'm kind of excited for the challenge of the dogs, but there was a lot of cheating, and I don't think like it's intended as trying to be cute, and I think that it might fall apart later.
James, why don't you give us your rating?
You got it. Here's the thing. Coming into this, I was real pretty excited about it. I feel like the vibe of the pod, we kind of a lot of hating on it. But my rating is top third. It's going to be bottom of the top for some of the production. And, you know, it's a little heavy on some of the sob stories. I'll agree with you there. And some of those kind of normal traps. Music is not particularly good or interesting. But I got to say, all in all, like, this was a fun show. It was a little bit too long, so I was relieved to hear Rob say that's a little shorter. All in all, I thought it was fun, enjoyable. It's a good watch. It's easy. It could do a little more, but it's also, you know, top. I don't know. I thought it was good. If you like dogs, that's my big caveat. If you're not a dog person, like I'm,
you're not a dog person, get the fuck out of here.
If you're not a dog person, you listen to this whole podcast. If you made it this far, watch this episode. Tweet at me. I'm very impressed. We need to interview you. Rob, what's your rating?
I'm a little torn on this. I'm going to go a certain way, but you can definitely tell me I'm wrong on this. Like, you know, James is like, wrong. His rating is if you're a dog person. I'm not a dog person. And like, you know, like I'm friends with Max on Snapchat and all Max sends are snaps of his dog. And I'm like, skip, skip, skip. I don't care. This is bottom third. If you don't care to just see pictures of dogs, like this is for people who like looking at dogs on Instagram as a TV show. And if you don't care about that, like this show is pretty boring and there's not that much to redeem it. Like it's trying to be Amazing Race and maybe if there were more good challenges, it would be better. But like, I have no desire to watch more of this show, and maybe that's unfair because I'm clearly not the target audience, but like I got to put it at the bottom. I don't want to watch more of this.
You do you, Rob. Max, what do you got for me?
This is going to be a shocker, but I'm going to say this is bottom third.
Whoa.
Top of the bottom. I like dogs. There are much easier ways to consume dogs doing cool shit than this show. The show's boring as hell. And I'm never going to watch another episode unless Brian tells me I watched the whole season and it was incredible. And I don't think that's going to happen.
I'm probably not going to watch the entire season. I maybe will watch like another episode.
No. Like, do not do this to yourself. I'm saying like, if I hear from somebody, I watched the rest of the season, it was the most unbelievable thing I've ever seen, then maybe I would consider giving it another shot. But right now, bomb third, top of the bottom.
I mean, Noah put it awful,
just kind of boring.
Noah put it top of the top. You might hear, this might be the new Selling Sunset. You might hear that from him.
I will say this show is pretty fascinating in that between all of us, it's pretty across the board. It's kind of everywhere.
It's true. So I shit on the show a lot, but like season 5, dude, has been so rough, and I enjoyed the show. So I'm going to put it in the top third. I don't think it really deserves top third. Like it would be bottom and top, but like I'm sick of all the garbage we've been watching. And this is like, I enjoyed it. That's all I really need to say about it. I agree. The challenges could be better. Use less cheating. The cheating, it was kind of fun to watch the production crew try to hide the cheating. That was kind of fun. And I think to Brian's point, the future, I feel like the challenges could be better. They could be worse. I don't know. Could be downgraded. Could not be. I don't know. After one episode, I'm going to put it in the bottom of the top. That's where it goes. I could see why it goes in the bottom. I could see why it goes in the middle. It's definitely, one of the most weird ratings I think we've ever seen in this after 200 episodes.
Like mine's like kind of on the border of like the top. It's like top of the middle. Like it's still like around that area. It's very disparate though.
And then we've got Noah.
I'm curious to know. I know Rob that doesn't do the, thirds within a thirds breakdown. But this could be the one show where it has gamut from literal top of the top to possible bottom of the bottom. So I gotta ask.
It's not bottom of the bottom. Okay. There's no way it's bottom of the bottom. Okay. We've seen some real bad stuff.
Some real stinkers out there.
Yeah. All right, Rob, to our shout outs of the week.
All right.
Rob, we need our usual shout out.
We got to get the update. It was the always exciting double elimination last week. And they didn't make the double elimination a 2-hour episode. So I was very excited about that. It's a nice, crisp 1-hour double elimination. So first we said goodbye to the thingamajig. And it continued a trend with Ken Jeong. So Ken Jeong has a shtick that all his guesses are terrible. Except once a season, he correctly guesses an athlete. And the thingamajig was NBA player Lonzo Ball. And Ken Jeong got that right.
Ball in the family, baby.
Yeah. So Lonzo Ball was kicked off the Masked Singer the same day his brother was drafted number 3 overall in the NBA. So that was kind of interesting. And then we also said goodbye to the Serpent, who was Dr. Elvis, the singing surgeon. Who? I don't know. But again, with the Ken Jeong teared up at how important Dr. Elvis's singing was and how it got him through the pandemic and the quarantine. And A,
what?
Ken, the quarantine and the pandemic's not over. I think you need some help on that. But B, Ken Jeong was literally tearing up about this. He seemed genuinely like, this guy is so important to me. And I'm like, who the hell is this person? I've never heard of this singing Dr. Elvis. But Nicole Scherzinger also guessed that correctly. So we had two correct guesses
last week. How? What?
Rob, this is why, I mean, if you listen to our podcast, you know this. This is why I hate that show. Because there, in no way in hell would you have ever guessed those two people, Rob.
No, definitely not.
So
I definitely would have guessed Lonzo Ball.
Everyone would have gotten it.
Yeah.
How much money do you think that dude had to pay in order to like get this reaction? Because this is like definitely a like advertisement.
No, that's the thing.
No, like, I think
Lonzo
like
agrees to go on the thing, and it's some advertised. Like Lonzo gets some publicity, and the Masked Singer gets to say they had an NBA player on their thing. Like it's a win-win.
Oh no, I'm talking about the Elvis dude.
Okay, this guy. My suspicion is like. He had one. This is some like old people Facebook shit.
So it sounds like there was some Fox special earlier in the quarantine that he was on. So he's it's part of the Fox, you know, feeder system of Fox is looking at who they already employ to put on the Masked Singer. Like this is what's going on there.
They're trying to start an MTV extended universe.
Yeah.
Rob, you have any other shout outs you want to talk about?
So I haven't actually watched the show, but I'm going to give a shout out that on my Instagram, I'm seeing all these ads for the new Animaniacs, and it's definitely speaking to me, and I probably need to watch it.
All right. Hey, shout out before you watch any of it. Brian, you have any shout outs this week?
Queen's Gambit. Awesome show.
I do. I want to have so I watched the whole show. I think the first like half of the show is amazing. And the second half is kind of falls apart.
Okay, so here's the thing. I'm still in the first half. You might get an update next week where I say this show sucks.
I don't think it falls apart in the second half. It's just not as good.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, it doesn't like become a bottom third show, but it definitely falls a couple of rankings. But yes, I enjoy the show too. James, you have a shout out this week? No shout out. Max?
I continued watching a show that I dropped like 10 years ago. It's this Japanese anime. I'm on like episode 500 something. It's insane.
One Piece?
Hell yeah.
Oh, I was going to say Inuyasha. That's also stupid long running animes. But yeah, that's a good quarantine show. You know, there's infinite essentially.
So, okay. I'm going to dive into something for 20 seconds. The show has so many episodes and so much of them have just like garbage that's not in the comic version of it that people have edited out all of the fillers. So I've been watching the like edited version of it.
Why not just read the manga?
Because.
Okay. I've been on, I guess, a similar note. I've been watching DuckTales, the new rebooted DuckTales. So good. Highly recommend. It's very fun. Definitely a good, like, feel good show that's like hard to find these days. That's my shout out. And that's it for us this week. You can find us on whoputthison.com and you can find us on facebook.com/whoputthison. You can email us questions and suggestions at whoputthison@gmail.com and at whoputthison on Twitter. And we'll see you guys next time. So, Rob, what are you guys doing for Thanksgiving tomorrow?
We're going to watch the Macy's Parade. We're going to watch some football. And we're going to make a ham.
Ooh. Oh.
That's right. Emmy doesn't like turkey, right?
Emmy doesn't really like turkey, yeah.
I'm also on the ham train. Yeah.
Oh, there you go. We also did some chicken for Canadian Thanksgiving, so she feels like we've earned a non-foul thing, since it's only going to be me, Emmy, and Mel.
Non-foul thing?
F-O-U-L, like a bird.
F-O-W-L.
I was like,
you spelled the wrong one.
You know what I mean.
Like Halloween.
Yes.
Is foul a word for a bird?
Yeah.
Yes.
Huh. Normally go with poultry, but...
Poultry works.
Yeah.
I was like...
I think foul is like the hunting term for it.
Google F-O-W-L, now that we're spelling it right.
It's porn. No,
it's not. That is not porn. You should watch. Don't do that.
Oh, no. Really? I don't know about that one.
Don't click.
No, I was definitely joking. Definitely an image of some kind of...
Rule 34. Don't click on that.
Right.
Fowl, if we're talking about like birds.
Two biological orders, namely the game fowl or land fowl and the water fowl.
That was great.
Three birds. So, no, it's a very specific type of bird, though, it seems. Like, it doesn't seem like it's like a category.
I thought it would be like ducks, stuff like that.
Brian, are you Thanksgiving by yourself, too?
I'm Thanksgiving by myself, yeah. I mean, dude, the cases are just going straight up. Like, it would be straight up dumb.
Oh, yeah, it's a disaster out there.
Well, we had a thing where, like, so our original plan was we were going to do Thanksgiving with Courtney's family and this other family. The mom's name is Sam, because these are the kids Mel's going to mom preschool with. So Mel, Emmy, Courtney, Lily, Sam, and Naomi are together twice a week every week. But then when they put in the deeper restrictions, both Emmy and Zach were like, we should observe the spirit that they don't want us to be getting together for Thanksgiving and not do Thanksgiving together. Even though, like, Emmy saw Courtney today, but we're not going to see them tomorrow because it's
what?
Against the rules.
Yeah, that's all weird.
Yeah.
I'm going to Christina's family, and we're apparently going to be in the garage. Semi outside, I guess. I assume.
You have like a door cracked or something? Like the
garage? I have to assume. Why else would we be in the garage other than to just be cold?
Got to be cold. Better than being hot. All these damn people.
I haven't seen anyone in like 2 weeks, so.
Yeah.
I'm hurt.
Is there going to be a lot of people there or something?
It's just going to be her brother and sister and her parents.
That's still fairly limited. I mean,
it's definitely limited. If it was more than that, I wouldn't have gone. I wouldn't be going.
Right.
And so, I didn't want to cook my own turkey, so. I'm a little selfish. No way.
Dude, that was like the biggest thing when I went to the store. Like, I looked at the turkeys and I'm like, there's no way. Like, even if I cut this thing in half and like
you
froze
half
of it.
Just like the turkey breast. Yeah. Small one.
No.
Definitely I'd do it. Not cook a turkey for yourself. That's way too much food.
Right, exactly. Like, I don't want like just regular like turkey breast or whatever. Like, that just doesn't seem in the spirit of it. Like, I might as well just go with whatever.
Yeah, but the turkey breast, for me, the turkey breast is the best.
What if you buy one of those like pre-cooked rotisserie chickens?
I'm okay with that because that's small enough.
It's in the fowl group, you know.
I still don't think you're using that word right.
It is.
The definition is a gelatinous bird, or however you say that word, kept for its eggs and it does say flesh. Okay, I stand corrected. My defense.
You're doing like the crazy scientific definition. Okay.
So look it up on Bing. That's what it says.
Well, it says, so the definition I see is a bird of the order Galliformes kept for its eggs and flesh, semicolon, a rooster or hen. It's a rooster or hen. That's what it is.
A turkey is not a, well, yeah, it's probably a hen, whatever family of a turkey. I'll give you that.
No, a hen is just a chicken.
A hen is a small female chicken, right?
Yeah.
I feel Chris is about to do a Seinfeld bit for us right now.
Who's fucking the chicken? Get a chicken, a rooster, and a hen.
That's perverse.
I was so confused in that episode why they didn't just tell the guy like a rooster and a hen are chickens. Like that solves that whole argument.
It doesn't solve the argument. Frankenstein would still be confused.
I mean, yeah, because it's New York. At least the audience would understand. Because now if you were like, you watch that, you don't know, you're like, well, are they?